He misses that time spending with us. And when we miss time with him, how can we expect to serve the Lord? We won't have the power to do so. We don't have the power to resist the devil. We don't have the power to do anything. This is why we got to spend time with Jesus. And that goes along with the message here. Mark chapter 2. Turn to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And when you're there, say amen. As a matter of fact, let's all stand for the reading of the word, please, if you can. If you can, amen. If not, I understand. Believe me, I do. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. When you're there, say amen. Amen. We're going to read five verses. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered Capernaum. After some days, it was heard that he was in the house. Who was in the house? Who was in the house? He was in the house. Okay. Then number two, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was, so that when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And in verse 5, here it is. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Let's pray. Father, I thank you here for this opportunity to speak now, Lord. I surrender to you. I give this time to you. Give me the words you would have me to say. Help me to communicate as best and clearly as I can, Father, Lord. Father, give me the eloquence and the diction to be able to communicate, and that everyone here would receive. And I've prayed that they've come with a spirit of expectation to receive. Father, let us not leave out of here the same way we came in. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I want to minister on a topic here using Mark chapter 2 as my foundation. The title of the message is Creating an Atmosphere of Faith. Yes. Creating an Atmosphere of Faith. Atmosphere is the word right here. Atmosphere. Now, when we see here what Jesus is doing, the Bible says that he comes into the area of Capernaum after some days, and he was in the house. And they heard that Jesus was in the house. I'm going to tell you that Jesus is in the house. Amen. Who's in the house? Jesus. Who's in the house? Jesus. As he was in the house back then, guess what, Rio San Francisco? Jesus is in the house today. Amen. And when it was heard that he was in the house of Victory, San Francisco, and it says immediately that they gathered together and the house was so crowded. I mean, it was packed wall to wall. The entrance was even crowded. Nobody could get in except these four determined men, determined to bring their paralyzed friend to get healed. Because some way they heard about the healing power of Jesus. They heard that here is a man who has the power to heal the blind, heal those with leprosy, heal those with disease, and is able to heal those with physical deformities. When they heard that, believe me, a well of faith began to just swell up in them and say, we got to get our friend to Jesus today. And when they saw they couldn't get in, I like that, because did that deter them? No. Did that discourage them? No. It just made them not much more eager and anticipating to get in there. Hey, if we can't get through the front door, we're going to go through the roof. I like that. They didn't let obstacles stand in their way. They found a way. They made a way. They made it happen. There's a lesson in there, right there alone. But sometimes in the Lord, when there's obstacles in the way, don't just stand there and get depressed or have a pity party, but woman up, man up, and let's make a way. Can somebody say amen? You see, these men did something special. What these men did was they created an atmosphere of faith. I say, when they were digging that roof and ripping up that tile, man, and all of a sudden a hole began to grow and it grew bigger, then all of a sudden Jesus, because the first thing he did there was he preached the word. It's clear. Listen, when he was there, he wasn't there to gossip. He wasn't there to have fellowship and have food, my friend. He wasn't there for a potluck. He was there for the business of the kingdom. He preached the word. With such a captive audience in a house, he said, I'm going to give you the word because you need the word. See, because if you want to see miracles, if you want to have signs and wonders, if you want to know how to get right with me, you need to hear the word. And he preached the word to them. Woo, come on, somebody. And as he's preaching the word, all of a sudden, pieces of plaster begin to fall on top of it. Got on his hair. All of a sudden, he looks up. Can you imagine the sight when he looks up? He sees four faces looking down at him. Aye. Hi, Jesus. What's up? You're up there. What do you need? These guys, man, so determined. In their digging, they got a breakthrough. They broke through. Are you hearing me? They broke through. They were not discouraged, deterred. They broke through and got what many of us would often miss. Because sometimes we walk too much by sight and not by faith. It's too crowded and I don't want to go in there. There's no way I can get in. So imagine the woman with the issue of blood, right? A touch to him. She faced the same problem. It was too crowded. Too many people are pressing up against Jesus. But no, she said, she was determined. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. I ain't going to let that crowd stop me. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm not going to wait till the crowd goes down. I need it now. I need a touch of God now. So the Bible's clear, man. You see, we got to create that atmosphere of faith. These men created the atmosphere of faith. That's why in Mark 2:5, it says this. When Jesus saw their faith, they put faith into action. Jesus goes, man, you guys are awesome, man. You did all that to get your friends saved? Bring them down here. You're healed and your sins are forgiven. His friend got up from the mat, begins to walk out of there. Hey, come on, somebody. Feeling good like a believer should. But not only was he healed, he was forgiven. Not only did he receive a physical healing, he received a spiritual healing from the disease of sin. Can somebody say amen? See, in creating an atmosphere of faith, have you ever walked into the middle of a conversation and all of a sudden it gets real quiet? Then you get that sense that these two people, I think they were arguing. And then you say to yourself or to someone else later on, boy, the air was so thick in there, you can cut it with a knife. You ever had that experience? See, what you were sensing there was an atmosphere of negativity. See, atmosphere is defined, now we know the classical definition of atmosphere, of an area of air or gas enveloping an object in space like a planet, like our Earth has an atmosphere. That's how we breathe. That's where our oxygen lives. But the atmosphere we're focusing on is an overall feeling and or effect of a place, especially if it's in an environment of pleasure or interest. So it speaks about the overall feeling and the effect of a place. Sometimes it's the creepy feeling one gets whenever they walk past an old abandoned neighborhood house that is rumored to be haunted. I remember that back in my day. I remember when I was a kid walking home from school, there was this one house that was rumored to be haunted. It was abandoned, right? So every time, you know, it's funny because as soon as you put that into people's minds, as soon as you walk by, you go, the house is haunted. But I was curious. I want to go in, though. I want to go check it out myself, man. One day we actually went in there to this so-called haunted house. But you see, what I'm trying to say, now, when I got inside there, it did feel creepy. I gave you that. there was a creepiness to it. See, because whatever was going on there was a very negative atmosphere. I don't know if maybe that whoever lived there practiced demonic arts or witchcraft, but there was a negative, ugly atmosphere. Or else it could be the atmosphere of a romantic restaurant setting. Come on, women. Hallelujah. You go to a restaurant, there's candlelight, soft music, beautiful flowers. That creates a romantic atmosphere. See, many of us don't realize that the ability to create an atmosphere is inside of each and every one of us. Example, remember back in the day, and I hope you don't do it now, but back in the day, we used to go to the parties. Come on, I was a party animal. I was in the bands. Come on, our band helped to create the atmosphere to party. When a band goes in place, we play the music that creates the atmosphere for people to party, for people to drink. And if you go to a party, most of us, we didn't go there to hold up the wall. Come on, somebody. Because if you held up the wall, that was a dud. That party was bunk. It's a dud. It's no good. Let's get out of here. No, but a party that was jumping, the party atmosphere, people are dancing. Boom, 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 right? They're dancing. They're jumping. They're hollering. Ah! Dancing with a drink in their hand. But do you follow what I'm trying to tell you? We created the party atmosphere because we got up there and we boogalooed with drink in hand or cocaine up the nose, whichever. Back in those days, but today, I said today, we have an atmosphere inside of us, and then we can create that atmosphere of faith. I believe we can, church. I know we can, church. I've done it, and I'm still doing it, and it's inside each and every one of us. We all have the ability to create that atmosphere of faith. It's inside of us. It was inside of us when we partied. Come on, it was inside of us. And the party came out. Party over here, party over there, party on you, rain it down on you, party, party, party. Come on, somebody. Oh, you all remember what I'm talking about. Now we need to transfer that to the church. We need to take that mentality and that atmosphere and bring it to the house of God. But not just to the house of God, to your everyday life. See, the atmosphere is not just when you come to church. The atmosphere is inside of us, so it's inside of you. You take that atmosphere to work. You take the atmosphere to school. You take the atmosphere even to the hospital. When I go to the dentist's office, I make sure I'm taking the atmosphere of faith. Because I ain't going to die in that dentist chair. They're drilling in my mouth, and you won't feel any baloney. I feel something, but I'm thinking on Jesus, for real. I'm thinking on Jesus. Oh, Rabba, I can't speak in tongues, but in my mind, I'm Rabba, I'm telling my bow tie, who's on my hand. Hallelujah. Yeah, because we're walking in an atmosphere of faith. In Mark 2, verse 5, this was an atmosphere of faith. What we see these four guys doing is creating an atmosphere of faith by their works of tearing off the roof. Talk about tearing the roof down. Hallelujah. Tearing the roof down. They brought the roof down. Literally. And lowered the friend down. Jesus saw their faith. They created that atmosphere. You know why? It was within them. See, why is an atmosphere of faith so vital for every Christian? Why is it so vital? See, God responds to our faith, church. In fact, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Somebody say impossible. It's impossible to please God. The Bible says if we ask anything in his name, it must be done in faith. If we ask anything in his name according to his will, it shall be done as long as we ask in faith. See, without faith, everything we do in church is empty. Think about that. Without faith, everything we do in church is empty. For example, we sing songs, but unless we sing in faith, believing that our worship touches the heart of God and that He responds to us, we might as well be singing in the shower or singing with the radio. We can pray, but unless we pray in faith, we're just mouthing empty words. We can give in the offering to satisfy our desire to support the church, which is a good thing. But what God wants us to do is to give in faith. Give in faith. Give in faith, believing Him and taking Him at His word. And when we give in faith to Him, believing, as we create the atmosphere of faith in our giving, that He will open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that we cannot contain it. As a matter of fact, we will have no room for it all. So then we got to what? We got to give some away. Give it away. Did you know that we are responsible for creating an atmosphere of faith? We are responsible. You can't blame nobody else. That's what these men did again when they took the friend of Jesus. Now, here are three ways, very quickly. Here are three ways we can create an atmosphere of faith in the church. Are you ready? Number one, creating an atmosphere of faith starts before we get to church. I said it starts before we get to church. Oh, let me say that again. Creating an atmosphere of faith starts before we get to church. Emphasis in the word before. Like one man said, do you wake up and say, good morning, Lord? Or do you wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning again. Oh, and it's Sunday. I gotta get up extra early to be there on time to make sure the church is ready by 9:30. Rushing in late Sunday mornings. And oh, let me tell you, man, the way to destroy the atmosphere within you is when you're rushing, my friend. You're rushing late Sunday morning. You can't find a good seat to sit. Hallelujah. You can't find a parking spot. It puts you in a bad mood. And then we bring that bad mood into the church. And let me tell you, it is hard and difficult to get our hearts into that atmosphere of faith. Ay, Chihuahua, Mexico. But listen, if you and I can get a good night's sleep on that Saturday, I said, get a good night's sleep and refuse. Come on, somebody. They're talking about the devil this morning about what Sister Rosa said. Okay, here we go. Refuse. You and I need to refuse to let the devil get you and upset you. You got to refuse. We allow the devil and we invite, come on, Chamuco, that's right, hit me up here, hit me up, hit me in the gut, oh, there you go, that's right, hey, do me it again, oh, yeah, that's right, hey, hit me right here, oh, thank you, devil, that's what I needed for you to hit me. Ay, ay, ay. We need to refuse to let the devil have his way. That's what it means by using your authority. You got to use your authority. Your authority is just sitting there. You drop your authority over there inside the toilet bowl. You got to pick it back up, put it inside. You get your praise on, worship, hallelujah. Create that atmosphere. Then when the devil starts pulling up against you, starting hitting you, starts messing with you, gives you a bad hair day. Oh, my hair's not looking good. I don't want to go to church with my hair. My hair's all messed up. I got a hole in my shoe. I got a hole in my stocking. I ain't going to church. Refuse to let the devil get you mad. Refuse to let the devil get you upset. Come on, it's all inside of us. We're talking about greater is He that is in us. Then the Jesus inside of us says, I don't care what your hair looks like. Go to my house. I don't care if your shoes are holy. Remember, I am holy. I don't care about your holy shoes. I care about you being holy as I am holy. That's the only holy I look at, says the Lord. That's the only holy that matters. Not the holes in your socks, not the holes in your shoes, but about that hole in your heart. Yeah, you want to be holy? Because you had a bad hair day. Ay, Chihuahua, Mexico. Or God forbid, someone sits in your seat at church. You know, it's becoming a thing now. Many Christians that come to our churches, not just here, but everywhere. I remember back in San Fernando Valley, we had that problem. Pastor David had to rebuke us. Because you guys think that that chair you sit every Sunday, that's your chair. And God forbid anybody tries to sit there, especially a newcomer. Especially a new person. They don't know where to go. The usher, you can have a seat right here. And they sit right there, and then here you are. Excuse me, who are you? You are in my chair. Please, will you excuse? There's plenty of chairs. Look at all these open chairs. Why do you have to sit in my chair? Look at all right here. But no, you want my chair. I take that as a personal insult. The devil's using you right now. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, God wants to help us. He does want to help us. That's why he's bringing us to us. We got to create that atmosphere of faith within us. See, when you have a good night's sleep, then you can wake up with expectancy. Come on, somebody. Then you can wake up with expectancy. You can wake up and create an atmosphere of faith. See, it's not just creating the atmosphere as the worship team comes and sings praises to God. Many of us think, well, when the worship team, when they're sounding good, then we can have a good atmosphere. That's not all the way correct. Yes, we do have a responsibility to create the atmosphere. Yes, I agree this is true. But also, we have an atmosphere within our lives. We have the ability that before we come to church, we need to create that atmosphere in the house. I said, you need to create that atmosphere in the house. I don't care if you do it in the toilet or you do it while you're taking a shower or you separate yourself into your prayer closet and you get your praise on, you get your worship on, you begin to talk with God because he misses his time with you. You get into the Word of God, and then after you've had your time with God, after you've been into the Word and the Word gets into you, then you come out of there ready. I'm ready. Come on, get those kids. Let's go to church. I'm ready. As a matter of fact, I'm anticipating. I'm going to church with a spirit of expectation. It's not going to be just a normal Sunday service. It's going to be a dynamic service. Why? Because I'm speaking it. I'm believing it. I'm anticipating. See, you and I got to come to this house of God with a spirit of anticipation. I anticipate a move of God. I anticipate a great word from God. It doesn't, see, when you get to that level in your mind, it doesn't make any difference who's behind this pulpit or who's leading the worship or how good they sound or how bad the sermon may be. It don't make no difference. You're here because God is here. You're here because you anticipate a touch from God. Oh, come on. Because we woke up and created an atmosphere of faith by first creating it in us, in our homes. Church, it's time to get woke. There's that word woke is going around. I mean, just recently this year, right? Woke, you got to get woke. I think Pastor Anthony in Fremont, that's his series, Woke, got to get woke. Church, it's time to get woke and live in the atmosphere of faith, not in the atmosphere of doubt, not in the atmosphere of what if. Oh, I can't stand that one. Oh, my gosh. What if? What if I go and my car breaks down? What if I give my tithe and my checking account bounces and I'm overdrawn? What if I go here and order food and I get food poisoned by that burger? What if? What if? What if? What if I step out the door and I get bit by a dog? What if I go to the park and get stung by a bee? What if I go swimming in the pool and get sick because somebody does stuff they shouldn't do in the pool? What if? Christians, we're so caught up in the what-if zone. Not even in the twilight zone. In the what-if zone. Hey, you are now in the what-if zone. Okay, here we go. What if
and creating the atmosphere of faith, what if we just relax and let God be God? No, you didn't hear that, huh? What if we just relax and let God be God in our life? We forget that He is with us. We forget He is in charge. We forget He has a plan for us. But yet we speak doom and gloom and negativity over our lives. What does the Bible say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The power of life and death is in the tongue. If you keep speaking death over something, guess what? It's going to die. See the authority that God has given us? But don't speak death. Speak life. Come on, let's speak positive. Let's speak positive. Why? Because our God is in control. Our God is in charge. Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver and the gold belong to Him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If God owns it all, if God is in control, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, come on somebody, because I know He holds my future. You create that atmosphere of faith in you. You don't got to live in the what-if zone. You don't got to live in the atmosphere of doubt. Well, we can live in the atmosphere of faith. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Somebody say amen in this place. Amen. Creating an atmosphere. Secondly, creating an atmosphere of faith means you aren't waiting for it to show up. You already had it when you arrived. Sister Taya, Psalm 100, please. Psalms 100. Creating an atmosphere of faith means you aren't waiting for it to show up. You already have it when you arrive. Look at this. Look at this. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. You know this, right? It was a song. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will sing, this is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. See, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Listen, 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 listen. If you enter with something, you aren't waiting for it to show up. If you enter with something you got, you're not waiting for it to show up. Because you already got it. It's inside you. Look what He says. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. It doesn't say enter into the courts and then you'll get a spirit of thanksgiving. It don't say that. It don't say that. Listen, enter into His gates and His courts with praise. When I go into the house of God, I'm going to get my praise on. When I get into the house of God, no, 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 no. You should already have your praise on when you get into the house of God. See, many Christians miss and make the mistake. The only time they praise, they thank and worship God is when they get into the house of God. Well, what do you do the rest of the week? I cheat. That's what I call a Sunday-only Christian. You praise God, you thank Him only on Sundays, but Monday through, you ain't living like a saint, you're living like an ain't. Come on, somebody. This is truth. This is reality. Come on, man. We got to enter with thanksgiving and praise. I say we must enter. See, if you enter with something, you aren't waiting for it to show up, because you already had it when you arrived. I said, you already have it. Because you did it at your house. See, the atmosphere is inside of you. I said, the atmosphere is inside of you. Just like it was when you're partying, boom, boom. Well, the atmosphere is inside of you to come and get your praise on. The atmosphere is inside of you to come and worship, and not just here at the church, at your home. You need to turn your bathroom into a sanctuary of God. Turn your room, your closet into a sanctuary of God. Come on, somebody. I do. We all do. Every morning in our house, man, my love, my wife takes that Bluetooth speaker and she's blasting the Christian music. It's creating an atmosphere in the house. An atmosphere that's conducive for miracles. See, in an atmosphere of faith, the atmosphere of faith creates an atmosphere for miracles. It creates an atmosphere for deliverance. It creates an atmosphere for salvation. It creates an atmosphere for breakthrough. It creates an atmosphere for a God encounter. To some of you, you need to re-encounter God because you've lost your encounter. You've lost your encounter. You need to have a God encounter this morning, man. You need a God encounter. Don't get mad at me. It's your fault. That's why it's called an individual relationship with God. You're not living my relationship with God. You're living your own relationship with God. That's why you got to create that atmosphere within you. Can somebody say amen? Woohoo! Man, it should be within you. The atmosphere is within you. Acts 16, verse 25. Acts 16, verse 25. Let me give you a demonstration. Look at Acts 16, 20. Look at that. But at midnight, what time? I'm going to pray in the midnight hour. Hey! That's where Wilson Pickett got the name of that song, right here. At the midnight hour, Paul and Silas were praying and what? Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, Paul and Silas were in chains. They were in shackles. They were not in the perfect environment to praise and worship the Lord. They didn't go to the dungeon and started praising, worshiping the Lord because the atmosphere was already created in the dungeon. No, that was an ugly place, a foul-smelling place, humid, sweaty, hot, smelly prisoners that haven't used underarm deodorant in who knows how long. You imagine the stench. Oh, but they got past that. You want to know why? You want to know why they were able to pray and sing hymns to God, and then the prisoners begin to listen to them? Because the atmosphere of worship of faith was already inside of them. It was inside of them. So Paul looked at Silas, and Silas looked at Paul. You ready, man? You ready to do this? Are you ready to throw it down? Yeah, man, let's do this. They began to pray and worship and sing songs. And as they were singing songs to the Lord, it changed the atmosphere so much that the prisoners forgot about their suffering. They forgot about their pain. They forgot about their shackles. And they begin to listen. They begin to want, oh, give me more. Give me more. Sing some more. Sing some more. No, no, come on. I like that. I like what I'm hearing. It's making me feel good. It's doing something within me. It's giving me goosebumps. It's putting a pep in my step. Don't stop. Don't stop. Oh. Because it was inside of them. Even though they were beaten, they were put in dungeons, they didn't have a pity. Look at that. They weren't in a pity party. They weren't mad at God. They weren't trying to pass the buck and blame God or blame somebody. Why? Because of that lady, man. That witch lady, that witchcraft possessed, that lady with the spirit of divination. Man, she blew it for us. It's her fault. Ah, oh, man. They were just doing their job as missionaries to bring that witch to salvation. The crowd put him in there. The devil put him in there. But look at how they got back at the devil. And when they praised and worshiped God, they got God's attention. When you praise and worship God, there's no better way to get the attention of God. Because he listens to the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. He was hearing their prayers and was taking it in like incense, a sweet smelling aroma before the throne of God. And God looks at his son and goes, son, we got to do something here. Yes, Father, let's do something here. Hallelujah. The devil put the men there, but God and his son said to the devil, we've seen, devil, what you've done. Now get out of the way and watch what me and the Father are about to do. sent an earthquake, shook the foundation of that jail. Nobody died. Nobody got killed. The only thing that happened because of the power of praise and worship creating an atmosphere of faith is the chains were broken loose. Chains were broken loose. Closed doors opened up. See, when you create an atmosphere of faith and you praise and worship God, that's when the chains can fall off. That's when closed doors can open up. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Oh, create that atmosphere of faith. Let me close now. Are you getting anything this morning? Thirdly, creating an atmosphere of faith means getting involved when we get to church. It means getting involved when we get to church. So when we come to church, we don't come just to be a spectator. God expects us to be a participator. I said he expects us to participate, especially in the praise and worship service. Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands. It says, clap your hands. Some of y'all don't clap your hands yet. What are you waiting for? Personal invitation? Here, clap your hands. And you get a $5 Starbucks card. Oh, everybody be clapping their hands, man. You'll be clapping your hands for a card for Chanate. Come on, somebody. Psalm 33:3, shout for joy. Psalm 47:1, shout to God with cries of joy. Hey, see? The Bible says shout. Hey, Victor Irish, we're called to be loud. Amen. We're called to be loud, man. We're not normal. Thank God I don't want to be normal. I want to be loud. I'm loud and I'm proud because I have God as a Father, my Redeemer, my Savior, my Rescuer, my Healer. I have a reason to shout. And if you don't like it, get saved. Psalm 66:1, shout with joy to God. Psalm 95:1, shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 96:7, sing to the Lord, praise his name. Psalm 13:6, I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. That's the reason why we should shout in the church service, man. You ought to clap your hands. You ought to shout for joy. You ought to shout, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There was a guy in La Puente who used to do that. You remember hearing him? You heard him? Remember? He was famous. Every convention, mighty men, we'd be wearing the back. I was in the home. I was in the front. I was wearing the back. And you could hear, hallelujah, glory to God. We all looked at each other. It's official. He's here. All the time. But this guy was like a role model to us. He was not ashamed to get loud. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. He was having his whole Holy Ghost party inside his heart. He was creating an atmosphere within him. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Don't be afraid to get loud. Don't be afraid to shout. Listen, we're not one of them old, you know, churches, man, that are traditional or legalistic. We're Victory Outreach. Come on, somebody. We are Victory Outreach. We are loud. We praise God. We clap our hands. Hey, we dance a little. We bust our feet. We bust a move for Jesus. Come on, somebody. We're creating an atmosphere of faith. Whew. See, you know why we do that? What happens when we begin to do all these things I mentioned, we begin to stir up our own spirit. We stir up our spirit. And when we stir up our spirit, and so doing, we are creating an atmosphere of faith. See, creating an atmosphere of faith means taking something with us when we leave. Listen, when we've created that atmosphere at home, in the church, the atmosphere of faith is with us. We got to take it with us when we leave. Don't leave it here at the altar. Don't leave it here in the house of God. See, one of the greatest tragedies of the church today is our silence, the sin of silence. The sin of silence. See, God can move in a mighty way. People can get saved, healed, delivered, set free from drugs and oppression. You name it. Then we leave from the house of God and remain silent until next Sunday. But we need to share what happens with us to others. We need to share with other people how God touched us, how God saved us, how God healed us, how God delivered us, how God gave us a home and Victory Outreach. Come on, somebody. How God gave us a family. We need to take what is done here in our hearts, how God moves, my friend, the breakthrough, the healing. We need to take it and share it with those who are hurting, with those who are lost, because we still live in a lost and dying world. I know in here we feel good. We're saved. We're getting ours. We're hearing from God. We're going to get healed. We're going to get touched, but never ever forget that when we leave the house of God, we are walking into a hurting world of broken people, broken families, suicidal young people that need to hear the message. And let me tell you something, friend. Listen. Don't take this wrong. Don't go out there and invite them to church first. Invite them to have an encounter with Jesus. Invite them to a relationship with Jesus. Then we invite them to church. I said, then we invite them to church. But if they don't want to accept Jesus, we still invite them to church anyway. The key is don't fall for the sin of silence. That's a sin before God. It is. We got to take what God has given us and tell somebody. At your school, at your job, at the grocery store, down the block. Pray for them. We must take this atmosphere of faith and share it with those who are lost. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And in conclusion, get that track ready. In conclusion, just as in Mark 2, verses 1 through 5, Jesus saw and was amazed at the faith of these four men that they had in order to get their friend to Jesus to get him healed. Again, what they did was he created the atmosphere of faith for Jesus to move and do a miracle of healing. Did you hear that? In them creating that atmosphere of faith that was within them, they provided the atmosphere for Jesus to move, to do miracles, to heal the friend. Jesus saw their faith, and man, he was moved. He had to heal the friend. He had to do it because he responds to faith. It begins with us, as we all stand to our feet. It begins with us, church. Victory, San Francisco, it begins with us.